Now, joining us is Sean Duke, joint editor of Science Spin. Good morning to you.
Hi,
Sean.
Jackson, how are you?
Good morning to you. And tell us about this big radio wave of maybe somebody checking us out back in the 1970s.
Yeah, well,
what's all that about?
Mysteries, of course, are always interesting. And there are scientific mysteries. And one of the biggest mysteries, certainly in astronomy and possibly in science in general, was this signal that was sent. It's called the WOW signal. Now, people out there that are interested in astronomy might have heard of it, but a lot of people mightn't. It's called the WOW signal, and I'll explain why in a second. This happened in the 15th of August, 1977. And basically what happened, if you want me to just tell you briefly...
15th of August, 1977?
Yeah, that's okay. It. Now, there was a guy there, and he was... It was the Big Ear Laboratory, basically, the Big Ear Telescope in Ohio, USA, and they were part of the SETI group, and this is the group that was searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. So they're still around today, but they were publicly funded at that particular time. But anyway, they were searching for extraterrestrial signals, and anybody who's seen the film Contact with Jodie Foster, it was loosely based around what happened in real life here. Now, just to give a brief bit of background, 18 years before that, there was a paper in the prestigious journal Nature which detailed, you know, basically what kind of signal would aliens send us if they were trying to get in touch. And of course, there's all kinds of ways that they could get in touch, but they said the most likely at that time, this is 1959, these two guys, Cocconi and Morrison, they were called, and they said that it should be based around something around hydrogen. And the reason it'd be based around hydrogen is because hydrogen is the most common element in the universe. So if the aliens were trying to communicate with somebody else, it'd be something to do with hydrogen. Now, hydrogen, as the scientists would know, it emits radiation at a signal of 1420 megahertz. So they thought, right, something at 1420 megahertz, if we have to narrow down our search, because it's a massive universe, lots of ways that we could look at it, let's look for a radio signal that will come towards Earth at 1420 megahertz. So they said, also, if it's going to be artificial, so we can rule out something that's just coming naturally from the universe, it has to be at a very narrow frequency, because if it's at a broad frequency, it could be coming from different sources. So it was a radio frequency that we're looking for, at a very specific one, a very specific frequency. So really,
and they scanned the sky.
Scanned the sky. You know, so, I mean, when you think about it, that's a real needle in a haystack job. But anyway, this is what they decided to do. So 18 years later, anyway, the Big Ear was pointing up at the sky, doing exactly what these guys in 1959 said they should do. And it was a very boring data set that used to come in all the time, because it was generally values, which just said there's not much going on in the universe, very low level stuff, all frequencies we're not interested in. But lo and behold, that particular day, this signal came in. It lasted for about 3 minutes, and it was a very, very powerful signal. It was exactly as the guys had predicted in Nature it would be. It lasted for 3 minutes, as I say. It rose in intensity up to a very, very high level, and then it kind of tailed off. Right, and lasted for 3 minutes. So in the Jodie Foster film again, which I love, one of my favourite films, but it's kind of replicated when they're all sitting there and suddenly the big telescope's sound comes in and this weird noise comes in, whoa, whoa, like that. So that lasted for 3 minutes. Now back in 77, it didn't happen that way, of course, because there was nobody actually sitting there. They just, what they did was they had a very basic disc that they used to take out of the machine every 3 days. So it was only 3 days
and
later.
And they scan it, yeah.
Yeah, it was only 3 days later when it was presented by the technician to the scientist, this guy, Jerry Amann, he was called, E-H-M-A-N. So anyway, he was sitting there 3 days later reading the data from the three previous days. And, you know, normally he'd just be going through it routinely in his kitchen, looking, nothing here, nothing here, nothing here. And then suddenly... It was all based on numbers. So the numbers were ones and twos and threes, which indicated nothing, just background stuff that they're not interested in. And suddenly there's a huge surge. So he sees this in the data set and straight away he circles it and he writes WOW in the sideline. And then, of course, he goes through all the other data very quickly to see if it was repeated, because as the Earth turned, then you would expect that they could check the signal. So if the signal was repeated, it would be stronger evidence that actually this is something, you know, that really is happening here. The 1 3-minute signal, right? So then they were very, very excited, of course, and they immediately thought, this is definitely artificial. This has not been, there's no way this has been created. This is nature or something that's come from the universe. This is an artificially created signal. So they proceeded, as scientists do, to try and rule out all the other options, right?
Like so, fake. Somebody did it from outside the building.
Well, actually, this 1420 megahertz, as it happens, was banned and still is, I think, from use by the world's governments. Nobody operates on that frequency, right? It's just not a frequency that's used by aircraft, by spacecraft, by satellites. Nobody uses it. So they checked out the satellites, they checked out the spacecraft in the area, they checked even checked whether radio waves had bounced off space debris that's floating up in the sky. Everything possible they could do, no answer whatsoever. So it was just there. It was just, how do you explain that? Now, at the time, it might have been overshadowed. It came out in the media, but Elvis died at the same time. So it kind of got buried a little bit. But what they've been doing ever since then is, there's a thing in science, if you have an experiment and it shows something very interesting, that's interesting, but then to really make an impact, you have to repeat it yourself, and then other scientists in other laboratories repeat it as well, just to make sure that you haven't been trying to make it up or whatever. Now, with this one, they haven't been able to find the signal again, but what they did was they located the area in space that it came from, right, this famous signal, and it came from the constellation Sagittarius, you know, like the star signs, but it came from an area of space in that constellation, but this is called the teapot, actually, as well, because it looks a bit like a teapot.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that,
So
that's Sagittarius, isn't it?
That's Sagittarius, yeah.
Gosh, yeah.
So a little bit to the east of the teapot's handle, actually, was where this came from. Now, the problem was they were hoping, this is a planet, you know, the aliens are there on a planet, but there's nothing there. There's no planet that they can make out there. It's just empty space. So the only thing that they could come up with, it hasn't been explained. To this day, it hasn't been explained. Maybe it was a passing alien spacecraft. That seems to be the only way that you can explain it. It sounds crazy. But what people are doing still now today is to try and replicate what they found. So because there's limited money available for searching for extraterrestrial beings, because, you know, it's very hard to make the case as a scientist. You go into a funding agency, whether it's in the States or in Ireland for that matter, you say, what do you want to study? Well, I actually want to find extraterrestrial life. You know, especially these days, you'll be laughed out of the place. So when they do get money, the money generally comes from private sources. Like in the States, it's from these very wealthy Silicon Valley entrepreneurs keep the whole thing going. But what a lot of them are doing is they keep on searching the skies for any radio signal in the 420 megahertz, because if they get another signal, no matter where it comes from, then particularly that area of space, then that can confirm maybe the signal that was found way back in 1977. Now they are looking, of course, for other signs of life from the universe. It's got a little bit more sophisticated, you know. Like some scientists today, they might regard looking just at that particular frequency as a bit like smoke signals that you'd make with the old carpet. There's so many different, and not just radio. Why should it just be radio? Well, the reason they chose to look for radio is that radio signals can be produced relatively cheaply, and also they go very, very far. They just continue way out into space. But of course, there could be lasers, there could be lots, there could be mathematical codes being sent to us. Who knows, you know? So I thought that was an interesting little mystery that we could talk about. But there is of course this idea that life, which ties in with this, what we're talking about, that life actually was found already, which I could, another little mystery.
Go on, yes. Okay. Life found where?
So it was around the same time, if people remember, we were just mentioning this WOW signal in 77. Well, in 1976, the year before that, big news, which a lot of people will remember, is when the Viking craft landed on Mars, and it sent these amazing pictures back from the surface of Mars, the red planet with all the rocks, and it was big news at the time. Now, that, which it was amazing they achieved it in 1976, but the main thing that they were looking for there was, is there life on Mars? Because, of course, this was a big debate for centuries, was there life on Mars? There was four experiments on board this NASA craft, and they decided if three of these, or two maybe, can confirm life on Mars, there were different experiments, then we'll say, yes, there was life on Mars. One of them, which was done by a guy called Gilbert Levin, who's still around today, he's 81 years of age, seems to have confirmed, well, it definitely showed that there appeared to be life on Mars, because what they did was, I just explained the brief experiment, they took a little scoop of the soil, they put it into a dish, they fed the soil with this kind of goo, that if there was any microorganisms or bacteria in the soil, that they would then eat the goo. But the goo had a radioactive label on it, so they would actually ingest radioactivity. But then they would breathe out carbon dioxide radioactive gas. So if you were able to detect radioactive gas, the only explanation could be that there was microorganisms that have actually metabolized.
Yeah, see, we don't care about all that.
Right.
That's only for the likes of you, because we want to see the little green men going around.
Right, okay.
If there's going to be life on Mars, there has to be a place to go in your hobbyers with a few things. No.
Would it not be significant even like as a first step if you found even bacteria? Because at the moment we
don't care.
We don't care.
No.
Because
am I being too cruel?
Well, if you look back,
I mean scientists might be a bit excited, but we there's no such little animals going around or something like that.
But at one point we were bacteria, believe it or not, because you know we were actually bacteria. So it takes the thinking of the scientists is that look, if there's bacteria, at least it shows we're not alone. You know, this big philosophical question.
But you might have all these diseases and things, you know.
Yeah.
That we haven't got a cure for. Right
I have another mystery for you, if you
all
want.
All right. He's quickly moving on, I see. He's been insulted. Yeah. It's Sean Duke here from Science Spin. But you can take the point, can't you?
I mean, can take the point, yeah.
You know, for people like myself, who said to see something on telly, on CNN there with, look at that creature there, looks like...
Did you see the article on that particular topic, seeing as you bring it up, 2 days ago? I think it was 2 days ago. The Irish Independent actually had a story about this whole Roswell thing. You know, this famous Roswell incident where in 1950 there was meant to have been a spacecraft that crashed. Right. So it's all kind of shrouded in controversy, and scientists actually don't want to go near it because they think this is for the crazy people, you know. And actually you can go to Roswell and there's a whole industry, a tourism industry we built up around the place now. But actually there was documents declassified. There were US, there were official documents. This is why it was in the paper, were declassified. And apparently this FBI agent wrote to his superior to say that three of these so-called, this is the type of stuff you want to hear about, three of these discs had apparently crashed. And not only that, but he was quoting another person who was blacked out, who said he saw little green men, life forms that were in one of the craft. And this was in an internal memo in the FBI. And will I describe them?
Yeah, they're funny heads, aren't they?
But apparently they were in there anyway, and they were dressed in their spacesuits. So, of course, scientists now at this point would be thinking this all sounds crazy, but that's an official report that was kept from the public, I suppose, until now, because it was declassified. So there you go. We want, right. I suppose what you're saying is you want to be able to communicate. There's no point in finding bacteria on Mars,
because right.
you can't
well, I'm a bit worried about it, because if they're inferior to us, well, they won't learn anything from them, but if they're superior, we'll end up being slaves. So I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what you're talking about there is Stephen Hawking, which he has a good view on it, I think, that maybe we shouldn't be looking for these intelligent civilizations, because, you know, like the Europeans with Africa, look what they did to Africa. We had superior technology and we just went in there and we took the resources and we just carved it up the way we pleased. So it mightn't necessarily be a good thing. No. And of course the other thing is, I mean, if there's some kind of bacteria, they are going to Mars. I mean, that is going to happen. There is going to be a mission to Mars. That's the next big thing in space. And they'll be able to take up their samples and they'll be able to properly look at whatever is in the soil and all this kind of stuff, because they'll be there on Mars. Maybe these bacteria won't be so good for us. Maybe there might be something that they could bring back to Earth. Again, like when the Europeans travelled to the New World, that they brought diseases that actually wiped out a lot of the native people there.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, listen, we leave it at that. I know you've other matters.
Yeah.
Just like Neil Steadman with his Buddhism, yourself, there's a huge area, so we'll reconvene at another time.
Okay, thanks.
In the meantime, if you want to check out Science Spin magazine, which is all this fascinating stuff that Sean comes in with and on with, it's free on the web, which is great news.
Just give us your email,
sciencespin.com. Sciencespin.com.
Yeah, just send us your email. You can register there easily and we'll send it out to you 6 times a year for nothing.
Great. And the other aspect, if you want to buy a hard copy, it's €3 or something, is it?
It's gone up slightly now. I think it's gone up to €5 now.
€5 in a hard copy.
Yeah, right. Because obviously printing, there's a cost there, but... we're not making a big profit, so hopefully people will support us.
Okay, that's for the hard copy in the shop. Okay, Science Spin magazine, Irish magazine, Sean Duke, there's the joint editor. Sean, Elvis was Sagittarius, and when he died, that was his frequency, and you know, the planets were beckoning him home, you know. So that was what it was.
Yeah,
so that was a well factor. And maybe the lads were picking up East Coast Radio. I don't think East Coast was around in 1977. I was on where was I in 1977? Big D from Chapel Lane off Parnell Street,
right?
So there's,
and Radio Dublin was on the go at that point.
Yeah, I was never in Radio Dublin, but Big D was big at the time.
Yeah.
What was it? 273, the Big D.
Yeah. Exciting days, I'm sure.
They were. You need to consider, as we're off on a tangent now, Marty was there, and Jerry, the late Jerry. Yeah, lots of people, you know.
Yeah,
in Big D.
It was fun, I'd say.
Yeah, it was. Good fun. Anyway, that's just and a little tangent there. That's when that happened, the wow factor. Maybe it was Big D. Never know. All right. Thanks, Sean.